This podcast is very not safe for work. This episode of Friday Night Fan Fiction was originally published on the Nerdy Show Network.
Has she begun to start shaving various parts of her body that should not have hair at all?
Like her shaving like forearms.
Shaving bottoms of her feet.
Shaving elbows and lower back.
I mean, I don't, but Steve does, because he's a hairy motherfucker.
I do not have hair on my lower back.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe that I don't or that I do?
But he doesn't.
You, Steve, like me, has a hairy butt, though.
I do have a yeah, but it's like peach fuzz. It's like soft.
Yes. Mine is, too. Steve, we got soft booties.
Congratulations.
You've won.
Just another way me and Steve are the best of bros. We got booty stuffs.
Hi, Laza, my best friend in the whole world.
Hey, your dog's not the best friend. It's me.
This spring, NSN brings you the most heartfelt sitcom of a generation.
Now, kids, settle down, and I'll teach you the secret of good cooking. You need two things. One, nonstick cookware. Two, lots of good, moist, tenderizing loving.
With all their family coming to live together under one roof due to the economic recession, stress is high, and the Night Horse household is bursting at the seams.
It's my turn to play with the funny back massager.
No, it's my turn to play with it.
Mine!
No, mine!
Where did you get that from, kids? That's your aunt's, and I think it needs to be washed.
I need a stiff drink and a stiffer back massage.
But through frustration comes purpose, and through hardship, they discover what they never lost in the first place. Their love.
Why did you do that? Why do you keep shutting me out? All I want to do is be there for you!
I know, but I can't control my gaming fix, and I don't want to let you in on that pain. You're already suffering enough.
We suffer together! That's what being a family means!
Every Wednesday at 8 p.m., bring your family to meet ours and laugh your way through the tears. You may just leave with more in your head and more in your heart.
I'm sorry I put your Game Boy in the toilet.
I'm sorry I shaved my crotch on your toothbrush. Wait! You did what to my Game Boy?
Keep it down, you youngins. Grandma can't hear the latest Glenn Miller from the Squawky Box.
Can we put her in the home yet?
She already is home. Our home.
Keep up with the Night Horse family on Friday Night Fanfiction, a family-friendly romp for friends and family of all ages.
Warning, show is rated NC-17 for reasons that will become increasingly obvious with every passing minute of listening. Not for families, ever.
If people want the opener, they can listen to the episode and get us those SoundCloud listens.
Into MyTunes.
Into MyTunes. I logged into MySpace for the first time in 9 years today.
Why?
Because I wanted to see how many people I was still friends with on there. I'm friends with 7.
Gross.
Are you friends with... God, what was it?
Tom. MySpace Bart? Tom? I am not.
You know, that was a great thing about MySpace, is that you were always friends with Tom, and he would never abandon you.
Except yeah, Tom did abandon me when I logged in today for the first time in, like, almost a decade.
Okay, hold up.
He's Tom, the reason why you no longer have a top 8.
No, Tom... Tom had nothing to do with that. He was bought out by Justin Timberlake. Like, no joke, that's really what happened.
Hold on.
Like, I'm not fucking lying. Justin
he tried
Timberlake
to make it more of a music platform. Because everyone kept posting fucking middies and shit like that.
Well, that's just because that was the best way to trick out a website back in the day.
Yeah.
Fucking throw up your goddamn...
You want to talk about irony. If you Google what happens to MySpace Tom, the first result is an article from 2015 on AOL.com.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty on the nose.
That's pretty spot on. Anyways, this is Friday Night Fan Fiction. You all know the drill. We ain't doing the opener no more. You get your
washed.
So wait, Quail Man's going to be your voice for tonight then?
Don't tell me about that, Steve. I want to be washed.
That made me feel really weird inside. And considering we had to abort that Doug fic we were reading on the side recording to make up for my flu.
Spoiler alert.
Is abort really the word you wanted to use?
Considering how gross the story was, yeah, I think it would probably be apt. Regardless, this is Friday Night Fan Fiction. You all know what's going on. Nerdy Show Network.
No.
Please explain.
T-shirts.
Yeah, explain. Tell me about shirt sizes.
Tell me about kid sizes.
Kid shirts.
Are you sure that's how you want to say
it? Yes.
Tell me about the kids.
And their size.
And how to cover them up.
Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, God. Actually, you know what, Dave? I'm going to start asking you this every week. How many new games are coming out are you not going to play because of loot boxes?
I don't. No,
I'm still shocked that you're gonna say, "Oh, we can't play Dragon Ball Fighters because there's loot boxes."
Yeah,
you buy them with in-game Zenny.
Yeah, but it's still a loot box. Why can't I just buy the thing that I want?
What thing do you want?
The items that are unlocked by the loot box.
It's literally only colors.
Yeah, and I want to just be able to pay outright for the colors.
You're not gonna pay outright for the game at all. So what do you care?
No, I do care because there's a difference between looking at something that I want to unlock and then seeing that that thing is locked by random chance.
You know, that's the problem. This is funny because this all just stems from your hatred of Overwatch.
No, no, Logan. Overwatch is what started it, and then it led into other things. Injustice 2 did more against loot boxes than Overwatch did.
But nobody gives a shit about it.
If you're curious about this, you should listen to our new show recording very soon, Nighthorse Media's Naked Opinion.
Can you repeat that without, choking the title out?
I think I said it very clearly. Nighthorse Media.
What? Logan.
I'm not going to listen.
Listen, Logan.
I don't know if you realize this,
Royal Rumble?
No, I didn't.
It was pretty good, actually.
I don't have the network anymore.
Oh, you should use my network password.
Or I could just, be a bad boy and torrent it.
Bad boy? Ooh! Ooh! Calling the police! Fitz McMahon's coming to your house to punch you in your nut!
Bad boy, what you gonna do?
What you should do is you should go to...
problems with the XFL to worry about than with...
Yeah. We're not... No, we'll have a whole separate show dedicated to talking about the XFL, okay?
Sean, you're from Canada, right? What do you think about America having two football leagues?
I don't...
Well, I mean, technically, we already do have two football leagues.
Yes.
Arena football doesn't fucking count.
No, the AFL and the NFL.
AFL and the NFL.
Look, the fucking Armed Forces Network was okay if you're overseas.
And technically, if we want to bring college ball into this, there's three.
Look, if I want to just go away from my keyboard, that's fine. It's my business.
Look, can I at least say the name of our website? FNF.NighthorseMedia.com, soon to be FridayNightFanFiction.com.
A cursory Google of the AFL gives me the Australian Football League,
and I love that first picture that shows up of the guy just casually tossing the ball away.
Will Buddy see out the rest of his contract? Oh shit, I gotta know. Hold on. Will Lance Falklin fulfill the remaining... Oh shit, a pop-up, hold on. Fulfill the remaining 5 years on his contract with Sydney?
Do I even care? Australian I can't understand the AFL, the Australian Football League, because every time I try to watch a game, it shows up upside down.
Steve,
what?
Last month, the Swans farewelled fellow big name
Kurt
Tippett. I don't know. I'm 3 years before his latest contract was due to expire. Sydney signed Tippett in late 2012, a year before Franklin, but the 30-year-old was forced to retire.
You know what's weird? You doing this has reminded me of a Simpsons quote, and I would love to go post it, but I can't because we're recording right now.
Well, Steve, don't you think upside down football is better because they're always playing Knifey Spoonie on the field?
No, David, you reading news about the AFL on the show is reminding me that in international waters we can rebroadcast Major League Baseball with implied oral consent instead of
express written consent.
Anyways, we have stuff to read tonight. We have a story.
And Sonic High School.
You can't prove it.
We were going to reschedule a guest for tonight, but they had technical issues, unfortunately. Season 6 is going to be a lot better for scheduling. We're doing a lot of things to make it so that there are less episodes where it's just us circle jerking each other. Although
we like doing that.
Yes, but we're going to have a sideshow dedicated to just doing that. I mean, is that an issue? How much circle jerky do you want?
All of it?
I don't want less, I can tell you that.
All right, there's the story for tonight. It's from, of course, Kristen's collection. It's The Chronicles of Spider-Man by John Smith.
Oh, the same guy who wrote the Mormon Bible?
Dum, 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 dum. If you have any criticisms about the Mormon Bible, please send email to ash21230@hotmail.com.
Dum-de-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
All right, first up tonight is Val being refereed by Sean.
All right. Well, this one is...
Okay.
So I'm sorry if you hear dog snore.
Okay.
All right, this one is from Kristen's collection, our beloved Kristen's collection. Warning! This text file contains sexually explicit material. If you do not wish to read this type of literature or you are underage, please delete this file now!
All right, sorry, hold on. I'm going to remove it right now. It's going to be deleted from our Google Drive.
New. This work is copyrighted to the authors, copyrighted 2008. Please don't remove the author information or make any changes to the story. All rights reserved. Thank you for your consideration.
So we can't sock in the search for love it.
No. The title is Chronicles of Spider-Man by John Smith. Parenthesis, ash21230@utmail.com. And parenthesis.
It's Hotmail, not Otmail.
That's what I said.
You said Otmail.
Hotmail. That's what I said.
Like from the 2000s?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Right. Spider-Man is defeated by the most unlikely enemy. In parentheses, MF, NC, Voy, Size, movie parody. That's it.
Next page.
You have to read the next page.
You
don't get to just read this.
Val, come on!
All right. The middle of summer, tradition holds, is a good time for a company trip. At least John Jonah Jameson, the publisher of the Daily Bugle, likes to think so.
It's Jameson. Not Jameson.
Make it Jameson.
Jameson is funny.
Not that he is interested in creating a bond with the employees, nor building a better work environment. He simply couldn't care less.
You want healthcare? Give me more pictures of Spider-Man.
Yep.
All those hot pictures of Spider-Man.
The main motivation for the annual endeavor was to avoid additional stress-related health costs. Human resources told him it was a good idea, and JJ didn't even argue.
Oh, the shit, this is about healthcare? I was just guessing on the whole healthcare thing.
A penny spent is a dollar saved, or whatever. Was all he had to
dollar
say-
saved! Call me on that, front page!
Was all he had to say on the matter. Year after year, he announced that the event would have a different approach with lots of possibilities and promised that the whole thing would be a unique experience. Truth was, nothing ever changed, and all the employees were stuck to the trip tradition. Marathon drives, augments, shouting, and lousy music all along the way. Obviously, the compulsory occasion had always bothered most of the staff, including Peter Parker. Mostly, the forced isolation affected his alter ego activities. At first, it seemed like a good idea, taking a yearly vacation from his Spider-Man duties. However, the event soon proved to be one of JJ's lame attempts of money saving, which led to more trouble than it intended to solve in the first place. It didn't help the fact that he had to cope with every male employee ogling at his supermodel wife, Mary Jane Watson Parker.
That's a long name.
Yes.
Goddamn, she's got great cans. Give me more pictures of that, Spider-Man.
She's got great cans. We got some filled with marinara sauce, some filled with soup.
Yes, I get the joke.
Is it the dog?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I said earlier. I hope that the dog snore won't be.
It sounds like a motorcycle outside.
She's not even that loud. Not that he was suspicious or
the gentle purring of Laza in the background.
There's no better ASMR than fucking dog.
Yep, pretty much. Not that he was the suspicious or excessively jealous type. It's just that he couldn't even relax and have a good time with the love of his life without some dude prying into the affairs with a trying to bond excuse. Peter couldn't blame him. MJ was a revelation to behold. Not only had she turned a lot of heads with her long red hair, delicate and beautiful face, perky 36D breasts, slim waist, and a perfect nice and round behind, but she had always been completely dedicated to their relation and faithful. She kept herself in shape by long, strenuous bike rides and daily laps in the pool. Also, she was very successful in her professional career, which is not much of a surprise since she had always been very intelligent and centered. According to Jameson, though, the event was not couple-oriented, but officially a father-son journey, which sounded ominous, but it really wasn't as sentimental as it sounded. He had a tendency to reminisce often. Even every employee had a personal connection to him, or so he'd like them to think. The fact alone was more of a minor annoyance than a genuine irritant, though. I read a lot of hard words.
Yes, you did. Next up
is... It wasn't that many.
Next up is me being refereed by Logan.
You have to understand that I'm Englishly challenged.
See, Dave, yes, why don't you say that?
Clearly Englishly challenged.
All right, so Dave, instead of saying listen, can you just say you have to understand?
You have to understand, Steve, that you need to just let me say listen.
You know, Steve, I don't know if you've noticed.
All right. It was keeping in line with the sentimental father-son bonding idea. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean. Which, if that was...
I don't.
Well, Dave, let me pull you up the 16-slide PowerPoint.
No.
Oh, okay.
Lower the lights. Takes out the laser pointer. Here's where the joke starts. Intriguing.
Neat.
If that was what one was looking for in a company trip story... could consider it nice. Even if it was not, JJ was sharp, knowledgeable, and witty, although cranky. Aren't those the names of the different Kongs?
That's four of the seven dwarves.
Sharp, knowledgeable, witty, cranky. Who are the other three?
Shy, cognizant, and...
Cognizant.
John Cena,
yes. Do.
Okay. Yes. Embracing some of the proposed nostalgia could actually feel good. Also, sitting in a cramped bus was not the idea of an ideal vacation. It was the most heard complaint. Jameson made a publicity deal, so the... Is that how you spell bugle?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
U-G-L-E.
All right.
Spell bugle.
So the bugle would have rides totally redesigned as lounge on wheels. Pillows, couches, and the seating could be transformed into, quote, bus beds, which sound way worse. No, that sounds worse than what it should be.
No, that's fine.
I love to lay down torpedo style while driving 70 miles an hour on the highway.
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
And then getting cut off.
I mean, I feel like I would have a pretty good time if I could sleep on a boat or plane, not boat, a bus or a plane, and it be like... full, like, I can actually sleep.
Yeah, but the difference between a bus and a plane is a bus has to contend with other cars, whereas a plane does not have to worry that much about running into other planes.
Yeah, but I can just be like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to sleep.
So anyone could catch...
Cats?
Yeah, cats up.
Ketchup?
Or ketchup.
So anyone could catch up some shut-eye. While they cruised on to their destination. Looked like the old man was keeping his promise this time. The year's choice was a small, somewhat isolated resort in Long Beach, a city in Nassau County, New York, on a barrier island off the south shore of Long Island. Somebody look this up to see if it's an actual thing. The main motivation was finding a place large enough to accommodate the staff and provide some additional options, like the beach, but not overly huge, so everyone would be scattered around on their own individual vacation.
I want it to be nice, not break the bank.
I also want it to be nice, but I need you guys within at least 50 feet of me at all times. Long Beach was still a small city, but it attracted a fair number of tourists. God, this is... Okay, you're really setting the mood here by giving me the tourist spiel to go visit Long Beach. Also being a well-established place for on the backpacker trail. Many visit for the numerous art... This is the tourist spiel! The numerous art and craft shops and tailors...
You want to go to Guggenheim?
Hey, Steve, I think this phone you gave me is fucked because it can't open the contacts... app without crashing.
I'll fix it the next time I see you, okay? Who produced
Guggenheim.
Stop talking about Guggenheim.
Never.
Oh, I thought you said googly eyes.
Stop talking about metal albums with googly eyes. Who produced made-to-measure clothes for a fraction of the price. Several internet cafes, bars, and restaurants had opened along the shore. This podcast brought to you by Long Beach.
Ding.
Go there, give us money.
Unable to avoid the inevitable, Peter packed up about a week earlier. It helped building the psychological strength needed to endure what he considered an awful task. Unable to avoid the inevitable, Peter packed up about a week earlier. It helped building the psychological strength needed to endure what he considered an awful task. At the scheduled date, he took a deep breath and, along with his wife, marched towards the virtual ordeal. Wait, so they're not in reality?
No, it's a simulation of the ordeal.
Ah, makes sense.
Wait, what?
That's how I don't have to pay for it, Parker.
Everybody gets an Oculus Rift that they have to pay for themselves.
Vacation sucks.
Yeah, God.
They were supposed to take the fancy bus at the Buggle headquarters and travel to the proposed getaway from there. Surprisingly enough, the going...
not that kind of getaway.
Surprisingly enough, the going trip wasn't all that bad. Joe, quote, Robbie, end quote, Robertson, a longtime friend of the couple and editor-in-chief at the Buggle, happened to sit next to them, and they chatted along the way. It was a smooth ride, and the sightseeing was very pleasant.
Joe is supposed to be Jay Jonah's son.
Don't know. The staff boarded off the bus and gathered their stuff. They went inside and checked in for the week. The resort had similar cabin-like rooms for everyone, which helped set a... Google says it's spelled correctly, and I've never heard of this word. Somebody find a definition. Bucolic.
That's when you're having lots of bukkake. That's what I was going to say.
It's a combination of the bubonic plague and a high colonic.
No, ooh, I think it's supposed gross. To be like...
Bucolic, relating to the pleasant aspects of the countryside and country life.
Jesus Christ, yeah. This is written by Long Beach's Tourist Bureau!
Come to Long Beach! Spider-Man sent you!
JJ figured that if they were going to be staying a week, it would be nice if they were, quote, neighbors, end quote. They would have to settle their eventual differences, and that could actually improve work productivity. After a brief introduction to the place, the team had everything unpacked, and they were settling into their rooms. I am so interested in this! Next up is Logan being refereed by Val.
The lodge wasn't very big, but it was sort of comfy, and Peter was reconsidering giving a chance to those annual trips. They decided to go for a walk to get acquainted to the place. There seemed to have a lot of work put behind the event, and maybe he could actually enjoy the company of his wife and friends.
Wait, hold on a second. Lack of Sense says, J. Jonah Jameson's son is John Jameson, and he turns into the man-wolf due to a stone he found on the moon.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, too.
That thought started to fade away.
Hold on, if I remember correctly, J. Jonah's son is actually an astronaut.
Yeah, so. he's the one who brought the Venom symbiote back from space.
All right, then. That thought started to fade away when he bumped into someone on his way out. Unfortunately for Peter, it was none other than Nick Katzenberg.
The director of fucking Disney. The guy from Pixar.
All right.
Obnoxious photographer and rival. He stared for a moment at the awful man in front of him. In his late 40s, nature had not been kind to Nick. Only a minuscule amount of hair remained on his head. In fact, it looked like he had more hair in his nose and ears than on his sweating head.
How is this erotic?
Let the fic build instead of always complaining so much.
I totally get off on no comb-over hairy nose people.
So Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito's a national treasure!
Danny DeVito's great.
Was he a national treasure? Did Nicolas Cage save him and the Constitution?
We're gonna go steal the Declaration of Independence.
Did you guys ever think it was weird that Nicolas Cage's dad in National Treasure was the president in West Wing?
You know what's weird? I've not seen National Treasure.
That is weird. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good. The second one, not so much, but yeah, pretty good.
Not to mention he was extremely overweight. The expression morbid obesity did come to mind. He was with a very pale and skinny-looking teenager, about as short as Katzenberger himself.
Katzenberger?
I was going to say...
I don't care.
You're still being raft.
He is a gigantic
burger. Yes, I am already drinking. It was almost comical, actually. The kid was the extreme opposite of Nick, and he looked like a lost puppy. Parker, Katzenberg greeted him while openly eyeballing Mary Jane's cleavage.
I gotta get that cleavage, Parker.
Get me an axe.
What the hell are you doing here, Katzenberg? Peter pouted as his wife stood behind him in order to avoid the bastard's glare.
All right, so when you do read David, definitely give Peter Parker Quail Man's voice.
I don't want to give him Quail Man's voice. That'd be crazy.
Haven't you heard? Katzenberg tried to make fun of Peter. Old Jameson wants a father-son bounding party this year.
Yeah. It's going to be held in the land of bouncy castles.
I mean, that sounds pretty all right.
It does.
So now you use kids as leverage? Peter mocked him back. You truly have sunken to the bottom. Ha ha! Katzenberg faked a laugh. He is my nephew Craig, if you must know.
Craig?
Craig.
Nobody names their kid Craig.
Nobody makes fun of Craig Kilborn, who hosted The Daily Show for all of, like, 3 weeks.
Craig is like a... you're born an old man. You can't be a young person and be named Craig.
No, that's when you're born Eustace. That is being born an old person.
He's like, huh?
Why? Since when you have a nephew, Peter asked.
Oh, God, the hiccups.
Who's... yeah, chill out with them hiccups, man.
I'll be back.
Since when do you care, Parker? Katzenberger pretended to be hurt.
Katzenberg!
I don't care. His name is Katzenberger now.
He's beefy.
You are right. Peter took MJ's hand and turned to leave. I don't. You know, Parker, Katzenberger attempted to come back. Having a nephew is more than an ordinary responsibility. So he is a drug addicted at the tender age of 16. So what? This trip is about more than just a physical act of traveling, the odometer climbing, and the number of road signs passed. It's about my love for what's come before, for the moments I have shared with my nephew. Beautiful parts, funny bit, and the occasional rough patch and awkward instant.
Gross!
Come.
And Steve is not here.
Sean, you're up next, refereed by David.
All right, okay, go for it, Sean. Make me proud, bro.
Maybe you should stick to decaf.
Oh, Peter, next up is Sean being refereed by David.
I already said that, so stop interrupting.
I'm sorry, I was busy not having the hiccups.
You were busy being bad at show and away from your microphone.
I had to go get a piece of matzah, which is basically a big saltine.
Why did you do that? Why did you get a saltine?
Because did you bring enough for the rest of us?
I have 6 boxes of matzah. Who wants?
Why do you have so much matzah? No human alive.
They sell
has
it
that
in like packs of 12 for Passover, and they last until the heat death of the universe.
Well, then why are you doing it? You bought one like three years ago. You should still have one.
That's what I did. I went to go get one from the kitchen.
A whole box.
Yes.
Yes, Dave, a whole box.
Fucking, are you just going to sit there with your cheeks full of goddamn matzah?
I'm just
going to
sit there and
going...
eat. It's going to be like Pearl from Blade. I'm just going to become super rotund and coated in this flaky crust of matzah crumbs.
Dave, you were in the military. Did you ever eat those MRE crackers?
Oh. Yes, they're god-awful.
Yeah.
I'm not in the military, and I've eaten MRE crackers.
To be fair, most of the MRE is pretty good.
Depends on where you get it from.
Like, the fucking enchilada, the chicken enchilada MRE is goddamn impressive.
I'm going to eBay to look up how much MREs are.
Yeah. You can get it from a military surplus store for like a buck.
We have military surplus stores in town, you know that.
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, fucking Steve.
Well, I know that, and now you know it.
Well, I want to get MREs from a country that's not here. Ooh, British MREs.
Oh, so it's going to be fucking disgusting dick.
Disgusting dick.
All right,
it's going to be a tiny deer, yeah.
I meant to say spotted dick, but it ended up being a tiny deer.
I like dick better.
that was one of my favorite characters in the hit anime Ultimate Muscle. His name was Dick Van Dyck.
Lithuanian Eastern European MRE.
What?
It looks like a bag of weed.
Oh, great. That's what I want. I want food that will tip off the authorities.
Okay, please continue.
Peter told the obese photographer and left. Mary Jane couldn't help but laugh.
Spidey lover,
Katzenberg mumbled, clearly upset by Parker's total lack of respect.
What?
I don't know. Thanks for standing up for me, Uncle Katz. Craig tried to cheer him up.
As opposed to any comic you've ever been in, Dr. Katz.
I get that joke.
Shut up, junkie, Katzenberg interrupted him.
Jesus.
What was I thinking when I brought you here? Go find something to do.
But Uncle...
Craig was confused. Move! Katzenberg shouted and pointed away. Craig didn't know what to do, so he just complied and left. He knew that whenever his uncle was in that mood, it was best for him to stay away. He started walking towards the main reception. Maybe there was a TV he could watch and pass some of the time, or something similar. As soon as Katzenberg got rid of his nephew, he rushed to catch up with the couple. His lack of physical resistance didn't help at all. Hey, Parker!
Wafers.
Katzenberg yelled, "Wait up! What is it this time, Katzenberg?" Peter didn't stop or even turn back. "Guess we started on the wrong foot here," Katzenberg said, while trying hard to catch his breath. "Truce! What do you say?"
"No, you have to say it more breathy."
"Truce! What do you say?"
More breathy, not dying.
No, you know what? I'd say that he treads that line very beautifully right there.
"I disagree, but go on."
"Whatever," the couple ignored him once more. "Go on." Katzenberg insisted.
Sean, I am so sorry that you have emphysema.
"Want to spend some time together."
"Wait, so are you the kid from Malcolm in the Middle?"
"Oh, God."
"Especially with that beautiful, shapely wife of yours."
All right, now that it's come full circle and become creepy breathy.
Yeah.
Truth was, Mary Jane was fit and stunning. Her shirt clung tightly around her seductive hips and was short enough to display to perfection a perp butt, which was accentuated by a pair of long, magnificent legs, toned through a strict exercise routine.
So you know how mentally there are certain words where you expect another word, and if it doesn't show up afterwards, it kind of throws you off?
Sure.
So I see pert, and I immediately think pert plus. So,
well, I mean, that's how you get rid of dandruff, so...
So she has a dandruffy butt.
Yeah, it's fucking flaking all over the place.
Yeah! Oh, God. Her large, firm bust was always on show, either if she chose to wear a range of close-fitting low-cut blouses or not.
I heard that as close loaf.
I also heard that as close loaf.
I start going close low fitting, and then I realized it was wrong because words.
I always keep a loaf of bread near and dear to me.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta. What if like some gravy comes rolling through? You gotta soak that shit up.
What if you suddenly find yourself inundated with a bunch of honey or jam?
Dude, you gotta, you fucking...
You need that loaf.
You need that loaf, dude. You gotta have it. Like, this is important shit right here. Like, this should have been covered in the State of the Union address yesterday.
Important shit.
Goddamn loaves, kids.
This is a no-loafing zone, though.
No.
It wasn't any different this time around. Her tight blue button-down shirt pulled tightly against her skin and strained greatly to cover her size D breasts.
Oh.
Ending just above her navel and exposing her lat stomach.
So the way I read that was that her breasts are just slightly above her navel.
Well, I mean...
Gravity does work against them, you know, over time.
That's not true at all.
What do you mean that's not true?
Yeah, no, it's definitely true, David.
No, Mary Jane has the most common superpower, which is very nice firm bosoms.
Anti-gravity bosoms.
Yes.
AGBs. Next up is David being refereed by me.
Like, I've been reading a lot of TV tropes, and I find it very interesting, the write-up for the page of the most common superpower. So if you get a chance, I would highly recommend
it. I'll read it, although I think there's almost no sentence in the English language that will end up being good that starts with, "I've been reading a lot of TV tropes and..."
What? Man, fuck you.
Please. Are you making fun of yourself for what you just said?
Oh, look, I'll just criticize your lifestyle choices. Never mind, you want to learn how to be a better writer by being able to identify cliches and tropes and shit in goddamn movies and video games. No, you're a bad person.
So you're a writer now?
Wait a minute. Wait, no. Let's step back a second. David, are you telling me that the basis of our comedy as a duo for the last 10 years is not based on undermining each other's lifestyles?
Oh, yeah, good point. Circle gets the square. All right. Size D breast, yeah? Here we go.
Her makeup was usually impeccable. Her hair was long, wavy, and fiery red, framing a beautiful green-eyed, ruby-lipped face that earned her frequent compliments. She was taller than average, and her wide child-bearing hips simply drove men wild.
Like, all right, so I like a girl with a good shape, but Childbearing hips is not something that is an attractive descriptor for me.
Well, Dave, you just hate everything that has to do with children, so that's understandable.
Not yeah. everything. Did I tell you the story about how fucking proud I am of Liam?
No.
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 All right, let's segue real quick. All right,
so everybody get on your segues.
Christmas was recently, right?
Yeah, about a month ago.
Liam took it upon himself to get out a measuring stick and measure his Christmas gifts. And then he took those box dimensions, cross-referenced them on Amazon to guess what he was getting.
Wow.
That's fucking brilliant.
Well, that is quite resourceful.
Like, I'm like, oh, no joke. I was like, God damn, I am fucking proud of Liam. That is, because when we were kids, we didn't have Amazon.
So I'm either getting a SNES Mini or one of those California Exotics pocket pussies.
All right, first off, why is the SNES Mini the size of a pocket pussy? That's something I gotta
know.
It's
a big pussy, Dave.
Liam has become the one child thing I'm okay with.
All right,
because he also plays video games with me.
In hindsight, cool, in my mind, the box for my personal pocket pussy is about the size of an order of Slim Jims, like the box of Slim Jims.
I changed my mind, Pete.
Wait, that's Mary Jane. I got to do a Patty Mayonnaise voice.
Pick one.
I changed my mind, Pete.
That's not Mary Jane. That's Bobby Hill.
No, Bobby Hill's like, I changed my mind.
Okay,
Pete.
It was really close to Bobby Hill.
They're the same. They're voiced by the same person.
Are they?
Yes.
Wow.
Great job, Steve-O.
Yes, unfortunately, we know that you can get foot fleshlights.
Yeah, I posted those before.
Oh, with like the slit in the bottom of the foot? That's weird.
Or in the ankle.
Not into it.
Where's the Mr. Mustache picture?
You have your kinks, but not
Do not post the Mr. Mustache.
Mary Jane couldn't cope with the fat man's presence.
Why don't you grab us something to eat while I rest for a while? Sure, MJ.
Peter took a quick turn and ignored Katzenberg completely.
I'll be back in no time. Okay, Tiger.
Mary Jane kissed him and headed to their cabin.
I'll be waiting.
Katzenberg just couldn't take a hint and started accompanying Peter as if he was invited to tag along until he realized where Mary Jane was going.
I just remembered I have to take care of something. He spoke out loud. Why don't you go ahead and I will catch up with you later to get the Krabby Patty formula.
All right, somebody laughed. That means that joke.
No, I was laughing at the foot with the vagina hole in it.
No, you were laughing at my joke.
No,
and you know
I was
it.
Laughing at the
you
foot.
You didn't have no JPEG foot ginas up.
It's been up for the last minute, Dave.
Steve, aren't you supposed to be reffing and not looking at foot vaginas?
Yeah.
I know, Steve. I can feel it through your pants. Peter didn't even bother to look concerned and continued his way onward.
Yes.
Katzenberg stood in front of the soda machine, pretending he was looking for change, and waited for a few minutes until
moments.
Peter would... That's what I said.
You said minutes.
Yeah, you said minutes.
For a few moments until Peter was out of sight.
And out of mind.
Just as he was sure Peter was gone, Katzenberg quickly turned around and
Gesundheit.
That's you.
Three people said Gesundheit. New record. Just as he was sure Peter was gone, Katzenberg quickly turned around and followed Mary Jane, unnoticed, wondering if she was going to do anything worthwhile.
She's going to go file her taxes.
To his discontentment, MJ calmly headed back to the hut, taking the opportunity to stare at the beautiful surroundings. It was in close contact with nature. She arrived at the doorsteps, unlocked the entrance, and entered the shed.
This author writes very weirdly. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Right now, we just have peeping Toms. Is the depths of depravity.
Well, peeping Katzenbergs.
Yeah, peeping Katzenbergs. The peeping former CEOs of Disney. Katzenberg had spied on her several times, one big frustration after the next. The idea of discovering or witnessing something private from the stunning supermodel was rather exciting, but every single time he attempted any stunt led to a shameful failure. To put it mild. All right, the Swans were justifiably thrilled with the return of Buddy has given them in his first four seasons when he was...
Wait, where are you?
The competition's most spectacular and damaging key forward.
What, David, you're not reading the story. You're reading more Australian football.
Franklin's body remains sounder than Tippett's.
David, can you please...
Steve, that was hot, all right? They said
you're almost done. We're getting to the hotness.
But Steve, Franklin's body remains sounder than Tippett's.
Oh. There, start a Patreon for sexily reading the news. There's your in for making money.
But that, they already have that. It's called Nude News.
Well, you missed the boat on the million-dollar idea.
I like how this thing has, like, it's... I don't know what this fucking... It's T-Media, and they have things for AFL, Netball, Foxtel, movies, and Apple Music.
Can you please read? You have, like, a paragraph and a half left.
But if I read that paragraph, then I have to stop hearing my sexy voice.
Yes, you'll be able to read again.
Of course. If he got caught.
He approached the sidewall.
What?
You didn't finish that paragraph.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh. He approached the sidewall, hoping he could somehow take a quick peep of what was happening inside.
Of course, if he got caught, he would have a hard time explaining to Peter what he was doing at their cabin.
Squeaky, squeak, squeak, squeaky, squeak.
But he decided it was worth the risk. Katzenberg got on his tiptoes to reach the slightly tall plateau that supported the air conditioner and placed his digital camera there, aiming at the small gap between the apparatus and its frame.
And he started recording a video of a dog playing with a toy.
Squeaky.
Squeak, 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 squeak. All right,
my
next
dog's
up.
An apex predator, by the way.
We're circling back around. It's Val being refereed by Sean.
Did you ever watch Air Gear?
No. Was it good?
Should.
Okay.
Yeah, well, no. It's not good in, like, a good sense. It's about fucking motorized rollerblades.
I'm cool with this. All right, Val, please read.
Sorry, I was taking the puppy out.
Okay, it's okay. You're up.
But in the show, physics gets real poopy.
I'm okay with this.
You shouldn't be, because you just shouldn't, Steve.
Oh, I did start watching Air Gear.
Really?
Yeah,
let's talk about it.
Well, I said I started watching. Let me finish watching.
All right. Page 7, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. With some difficulty, he turned the visor down so he could see what was happening inside from the vantage point and focused at the beautiful redhead. As soon as the image cleared, he could watch as MJ had a cold drink from the fridge, grabbed a towel, and then headed to the bathroom.
Towel.
He stared avidly as Mary Jane entered the bathroom and heard the sound of the latch being locked. Seeing Mary Jane in her underwear was quite hot in itself, but his main motivation was to gaze at her full glory, and if he managed that, it would make all of Katzenberg's time and trouble worth his while, at least to his way of thinking.
Has she begun to start shaving various parts of her body that should not have hair at all? Like her
shaving my forearms,
bottoms of her feet,
shaving elbows and lower back.
I mean, I don't, but Steve does because he's a hairy motherfucker.
I do not have hair on my lower back.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe that I don't or that I do?
That you
he doesn't.
You,
Steve, like me, has a hairy butt though.
I do have a but it's like peach fuzz. It's like soft.
Yes, mine is too. Steve, we got soft booties.
Congratulations,
you've won.
Just another way me and Steve are the best of bros. We got booty stuffs.
Hi, Laza, my best friend in the whole world.
Hey, your dog's not the best friend, it's me.
He quickly rushed to the other side of the cabin and proceeded to climb onto a floor rack in order to have access to a small, curler glass ventilation window. He tried his best to peep through the small gap between the window and its frame. Katzenberg. Okay. Katzenberg smiled at the sight that met his eyes. There she was, 5 feet away, standing by the sink, completely unaware of his presence. At first, nothing happened. The target of his surveillance simply stood there, staring at the mirror. Unable to give up, Katzenberg waited patiently at his station, not exactly the most comfortable position to be in. After a few minutes, his patience was rewarded. Rewarded. As his rival's sexy wife looked down at her chest and took in the sight of her bulging breasts in a tight blouse, and proceeded to cross her arms and pull on each side of her top. With her arms still crossed, bent at the elbows in front of her face, she pulled the top off her shoulders and then out of her long hair, tossing it onto a stand just below where he was. Then she started tugging at her skirt. It was tight to begin with, revealing all her feminine curves. She struggled to pull them down. Girl, you're wearing it way too tight. You need a size bigger. They inched their way down her thighs, finally to her knees, and then her ankles. She stepped while 1 foot and center skirt flying with a kick across the bathroom with the other. She stood in underwear that barely covered her large breasts and shapely hips and ass. Her visible skin was well tanned. Katzenberg was well aware from previous peeping that the skin hidden by her bra was much lighter, and he hoped to see some of it. What he really wanted was for all of the untanned skin to be on display, but he knew that wouldn't happen in a million years. Okay. Even the thought of the possibility made his cock start to stiffen. Suddenly, she reached behind herself and unhooked her bra. As he watched avidly, she fondled her breasts briefly, giving Katzenberg a clear view of the prettiest tits he had ever seen. She's just doing a mammogram.
I don't know how women do when they're alone, but I don't think they just, like, grope themselves going, oh, yeah, that's the shit right there.
Yes, but inversely, Dave, whenever we're alone... Oh, go ahead.
It's more like groping going, oh, yeah, there's no lumps today.
Yeah, it's more like that, or...
Shake your titties.
Man, they feel heavy, or, like, why are they so sticky? Like, why are my underboots...
Why are they so sticky?
What? You get sweaty
underwear. I've been turned into goo.
Are you just pouring soda all over yourself?
No! You get sweaty underboobs.
Good job playing into the whole, yeah, they probably don't do that, when everybody knows that when we guys are home alone and naked, we just start waving our dicks around and grabbing our balls every which way.
Well, I mean, do you not?
That's what I am saying, that we do.
That's like my number one pastime. Like, you think I've been playing video games?
Was it listed on your graduation page in your high school yearbook?
No, I went to a school that could be generously described as Southern. So
that's not considered a traditional values, you know? What would you call that? Genital acrobatics?
You can't do that when you're a teenager, because that's against baby Jesus' will.
Okay, all right, I get it. Okay.
Oh, dear, sweet, innocent baby Jesus, all 7 pounds, 6 ounces.
That's a heavy baby.
Not as heavy as I was.
We can talk about how heavy you were on the side trip.
About how fat a baby you were?
I was a pretty fat baby.
I was 5 pounds something.
According to my grandma, I was 10'6".
Oh. Jeez. The first thing David did upon being birthed was order a deep dish pizza from Pizza Hut.
No, I'm the middle child.
As opposed to good old Eustace, who was born an old person, and shortly after being birthed, also the mother gave birth to an ear trumpet.
No. I gave birth to a whole finger.
Just with a whole hand.
Well, I didn't want to make the obvious reference to wrestling. Mae Young gave birth to a hand on an episode of Raw one time.
Yeah, we know.
We know.
Do you? But I don't think you do.
We do.
Do.
And then it came back later, like 20 years.
Yeah, as a full-grown hand on the Raw, on the 1,000th episode of Raw,
which was fucking weird.
I actually thought it was really funny.
Please,
I was waiting for them to be done. As he watched avidly, she found the little breast briefly, giving Katzenberg a clear view of the prettiest tits he had ever seen. No, her breasts don't wub.
No, they're all breast wubs. Bun.
Yeah, it just emanates hypnotic energy.
Oh, but they won't hear the wubs.
No.
No, I'd rather hear the reed.
They wub when I wub them.
All right.
Yeah, when they're wubbed, they don't just wub by themselves.
Now stop talking about your wubbing sticky boobs and reed.
They're not sticky.
You said they were
right
sticky.
Now.
Not
you
right
did
now.
You say that they were sticky.
We ran out of soda in the house. They're not sticky
Val's
right now, Logan.
Boobs are apparently sticky.
They're not
sticky.
We'll
just go get
right
some
now.
OJ. That'll make them sticky.
Yeah.
But for the OJ, we have extra pulp.
Please!
That's the best kind.
That is.
Yeah,
the best
I know, kind. But it's going to make a mess if I.
Oh my god, shut up and read!
I place a motion on the floor to please read!
Her 10 lines were.
Don't shut up.
Hey, shush! I was reading!
That wasn't what I was going to say. What I was going to say is my wife won't let me have the pulpy OJ because she doesn't like to chew her OJ.
Why does Judy hate good things?
Why are you not reading?
Because people keep talking over me.
So good.
Hi, can I read now?
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you. Her tan lines were quite evident. The paleness around her delicate pink nipples glowed a milky white next to her sun-baked skin.
They're LEDs.
Yes.
And her skin is sun-ripened tomatoes.
She shimmied the straps free of her arms, peeled off the garment and dangled from one end, finally dropping it on top of the pile of clothes.
Oh no, I take it back. Sunbaked skin. She's a California raisin.
I want to thank you for giving me time now. Oh, yeah, I'm a California raisin.
Next up is me being refereed by Logan. She only remained still for a few seconds before turning her back again, but it was enough to give him a hard-on stiffer than any he had ever had. He noticed
I'm
a
old and I haven't seen women.
He noticed a tribal... Never think about a California raisin masturbating. That's really gross.
I'm about to ejaculate grape juice.
I ejaculate Manischewitz.
You want that Manischewitz, baby!
Oh, God. He noticed a tribal tattoo on her back about 3/4 down her spine. Michael Jackson didn't stay on her back very long.
It says round and sodomite in Chinese.
All right, let me revise. MJ didn't stay on her back very long, though. Katzenberg relished the view again of her breasts, especially the way they swayed. You know, like one of those desk kinetic energy machines.
Tuck, 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 tuck.
Especially the way they swayed as she started pushing down her tiny, tight-fitting panties.
That must hurt. You do not wear clothes that are tighter than the size you are. This is not how it works.
No,
actually, tons of people do now.
Tons of people wear clothes that are tighter than they are.
Well, it's apparently what this story is. And so this story is the apex of it.
This lady does not know how to dress herself.
Also, Jesus Christ, why is that picture half Krang and the California raisin?
We're gonna make love to each other. Disgusting, wrinkly love.
Oh, God. After he realized what she was doing, Katzenberg's eyes were riveted on the paler skin that was being exposed. As the garment was pushed clear of her hips and ass and allowed to fall to the ground, he couldn't believe it was actually happening, and adjusted his cock so that it had the room it needed, as it was quite hard at the vision of Mary Jane undressing. A lot of coordination needed to move that cock. Staring at the sexiest thing he had ever seen, the tits and pussy of his rival's exquisite wife, completely naked and standing 7 feet away. Katzenberg couldn't even blink.
I thought she was 5 feet away.
No.
She walked across the room.
No. His penis got so hard, it extended out 2 feet and pushed him away from the wall.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking it was like a blood thing where he had so much blood loss that her perception of reality was starting to...
I like both of them. Katzenberg couldn't even blink. Her golden bikini line was shaved and trimmed into a reddish thin path above her little cunt. MJ was still unaware that she was fully exposed to the overweight, arrogant photographer, and Katzenberg was quite enraptured by her voluptuous breasts and well-manicured pussy.
Manicured like means that it's a hand!
So it is Mae Young!
Well,
that's hilarious.
After checking herself out in the mirror for a while, which you know all women do, she turned a bit...
Sometimes.
I mean, I do that, and I'm a guy, so...
Yeah, but most mirrors don't extend down low enough for us to check out the best parts of ourselves.
Says you.
Unless you want to sit on the counter, or in your case, stand on the counter and go through the roof of the bathroom.
Yeah, because that actually would happen.
She turned a bit and bent back over to pick up her panties. He could see the weight of her breasts pull her forward as she reached down.
They were actually super saturated solids, therefore increased gravity anytime they went near something.
And her panties were a black hole. Her pussy, seen from behind, was simply beyond words. It looked unbelievably tight. His cock almost seemed to be trying to rip through his pants at the sight of the sexy woman as she stood again, her big, firm tits pointing into the air.
I mean, she could have aftermarket heavers, and because of that, aftermarket heavers typically point upward if they're too big. Like, as far as implants
go. You mentioned the super saturated, so I'm imagining the only super saturation is at the bottom part of the tits, so the areola start, like, angling upwards. It's like when you overfill a water balloon. I just grossed myself out. Gross. As Katzenberg watched, he fantasized being there with her. He remembered all the bold comments of his low-life buddies claiming they would give a limb just to catch a glimpse of Peter Parker's supermodel wife in the nude. He cursed himself for leaving the camera at the other side and not being able to record any of what he was witnessing. Oh, drool started running down his chin. An involuntary response to Katzenberg's reverie. Is this Pavlov?
First off, I've never involuntarily drooled at something.
I only have when sleeping.
Same.
Your mother had, always rebelling against Steve.
You had beep boops.
You
had big boobs, too. Can you imagine Steve-O all bearded and gigantically titted?
Yes, I wish.
There were two very different answers.
Well, thankfully, right, Val, that makes one of us.
Don't want big boobs? Is it because they would be hairy?
Drool started running down his chin and onto his big, hairy boobs. An involuntary response to Katzenberg's reverie. His eyes starting to hurt due to the lack of moisture. Oh, God!
I haven't blinked in 30 days!
His eyes looked like they were glued open. The only thing he could focus on was his obsession by Calvin Klein and how bad he wanted to peer...
I don't want to make that joke.
And how bad he wanted to pierce MJ's utterly tight cunt with his cock.
Gross.
Yes, he always walked around with a chicken in his pouch. Mary Jane added her tiny, sexy panties to the stand and stepped into the stall. She started to shower, and Katzenberg was very glad that she had plain glass doors so he could see in short... So he could see in.
There's a period.
I'm aware.
Breathe!
It's also that there's a lot of spittle on my screen from all of the plosives that have gone in the last page.
Have you ever considered not spitting on your screen so much?
No, never. It never occurred to me, Logan. Not in a million years.
Maybe you might want to think about it.
Goodbye, Logan.
As he walks away.
As he goes off to get a towel to clean his own spittle off his monitor. Very glad that she had plain glass doors so he could see in. Shortly after she stepped into the shower, her nipples got so hard he thought they were going to pop right off of her gorgeous tits.
Boing.
That's not how it works.
They were the size of an unsharpened number 2 pencil.
Wait, why? You can cut the glass doors off with that.
He could see her shiver as she got herself completely wet. The water obviously too cold for her. Next up is Logan being refereed by Val.
Oh, it's just so cold in here.
Maybe I should buy a new water heater.
After she adjusted the temperature, steam started to build up. The sound of the shower running was echoing all over the bathroom. Katzenberger reached into his pants and took out the small pocket knife he usually carried. He knew he would get in serious trouble if she found out what he was doing. Maybe even get arrested. But he couldn't really think straight. The latch on the window was no match to a delinquent like him. He easily picked it with his knife. Surrounded by the steam... Shrouded by the steam coming from the shower, he slowly slid the window open. The small gap was only wide enough so he could reach through the cracked glass and retrieve the item in question. Her panties. His heart was racing as he quickly returned to his original position, trying the best he could to lock the pain again from the outside. But it wasn't as easy, as he never bothered to learn that part. When he was convinced the job was done, he took a moment to enjoy his trophy, placing her thong up to his nose and inhaling her womanly sweet scent.
Milk.
That would certainly be not only his new acquired prize possession, but the proof of what he witnessed as well.
Okay, can you read the rest as King Candy?
Katzenberg couldn't hold it anymore and quickly unzipped his fly and pulled out his dick.
All right, then lower the volume just a tiny, tiny little bit. Just a little.
He wrapped MJ's tiny, delicate panties around his cock to enhance the feeling, and so it didn't squirt under the floor and leave sticky evidence of what he had been doing.
It's like Tony's right here with us.
His heart and his breathing calmed back down after a few minutes, and Katzenberger returned to his spy hole. He watched Mary Jane rub shower gel all over her body. Her nipples were now enlarged and poking out a little.
Wait a minute, I thought they were harder than they'd ever been and they were about to pop off like a paragraph ago.
Listen, they got even bigger.
Don't you start with the listen, Logan.
I don't know if you realize, but nipples just keep growing and growing.
Until they become... What?
And then pretty soon you can climb up them and get to the giant.
As her hands slowly... Oh, shit, I fucked that up. As her hands move slowly and seductively all over her body,
He thought he was going to blow his load right there.
Kaboom. He didn't?
Well, he's practicing edging.
Okay.
He's into it.
You could see the water running down her body, around her stunning tits, down her stomach, and dripping off the trim, soft patch of hair above her pussy.
It's not patch, it's path. And also, wait, it went around her tits, so her boobs are hydrophobic?
Low brow is a good brow to aim for.
You got it, buddy. I will aim for the lowest of low brows. I'll aim for the floor.
You should always aim at the floor when you're jerking it. It's easier to clean up. As he watched, Mary Jane's hand moved from her breast to her pussy, reaching down almost between her legs, and started to rub. He wished his cock could somehow trade places with her fingers.
God damn it, Discord, why did you have to glitch out when he said cock? Now it sounds really creepy.
Cock!
No, it sounds even worse! It's like somebody's auto-tuning King Candy's orgasm.
Oh my god! Even for a few seconds, he stared in awe at what she was doing and the dynamics of her big tits and the rest of her body. He was lucky enough to witness her pulling the outer lips of her pussy up towards the front, which provided him with a better view of her impossibly tight cunt. He could now see the nub of a clit peeking out of her pussy lips and pointing straight at him.
What? How is the shower built? What the fuck?
I don't know.
This is a fantasy shower where you get a 360 view.
It's the shower from Porky's.
Like, you don't put the shower head right next to a window.
The water was still running down her and disappearing between her legs as she washed away the gel. Soon after, she shut the shower off, standing there naked with a beautiful sheen of water on her skin. She stepped out and grabbed the towel. It was a medium-sized one that was not large enough to wrap herself in.
Yeah.
Only enough to cover her breasts and pussy. She looked at the spot on the floor where her top and panties were and suddenly realized that something was missing. She checked the door latch and held her breath in silence, trying to listen if anyone was playing a trick on her.
Is that you, Santa?
Next yeah.
Up. Santa, he comes up out of the drain and steals your panties.
Next up is Sean being refereed by David.
Katzenberg halted. He even held his breath as well. So she heard no giggling or movement outside the casement. She mumbled something about where could she have placed her underwear and resumed drying herself. He took the opportunity and shoved his cock back in his pants, sliding her thong into his pocket and leaving before she found him there at that compromising position.
Damn, Fred!
He grinned widely as he headed back to his room. He wanted to spank the monkey session while the memories were still fresh in his mind.
Luckily, they were nearest to the city zoo.
Of course, he also had something to remember her by now. A piece of her underwear.
Wait, not the whole thing, just part of the underwear?
Yeah, that's what the knife was for.
Yeah.
He
just cut out, like, a cake slice.
Panty, I want cake.
Panty cake, the new obsession that's going across the nation.
Google that now.
You are even better than I imagined.
He kept thinking. It was late in the evening when Mary Jane heard a knock on the door. She thought it could be Robbie or his wife, Martha, needing something.
There is a website, mypantycakes.com.
Yep.
Yeah, this is how we found these things. Also, oh, Jesus Christ.
100% natural and only 4 ingredients.
Oh, so somebody apparently made a panty cake and added Dora the Explorer to it.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Oh, God.
It's not creepy at all.
That's so beautiful.
She was actually surprised when she opened the door and saw Katzenberg's nephew standing there.
Hi there.
The boy started babbling.
I'm not sure if you remember me.
Craig, right?
MJ needed to be sure it wasn't one of Katzenberg's setups.
Yeah.
Craig was astonished that a pretty girl like her knew his name.
Did your uncle put you up to this?
Mary Jane was straight to the point.
No, I don't know where he is.
The teenager was nervous about the question.
I thought maybe you guys knew where he went, since you talked to him earlier.
He had seemed to be telling the truth. Why would someone bring his nephew to a company trip only to leave him to himself the whole time.
I have no idea where he is, Craig,
MJ finally said, but you are free to wait for him here with us if you like.
Really?
The boy was happy he received the invitation.
I mean, I don't want to bother you guys.
Don't worry, she assured him. Pete, we have company.
Peter noticed the boy staying outside and waved for his wife to come inside so he could have a word with her.
Why did you invite him in, MJ?
Peter was surprised by her action.
Next up is David being refereed by me.
I feel bad for him being all alone, Mary Jane answered, trying to be sympathetic. You know, how it must be awful to be around Katzenberg all the time. Besides, it's just this once. Peter was starting to get a bit frustrated since he was planning on fucking her.
Bitter.
But couldn't deny... Oh, bitter. His wife had a point. They had plenty of time, after all. The couple invited the teenager in, and the three of them went to the small living room and sat on the couch. Peter noticed that Craig carried a backpack. Peter parried him. Peter noticed that Craig had a Peter.
Bitter.
They started chatting. Craig introduced himself and told them how much he loved going on trips, although he rarely had the opportunity to. He seemed like a nice kid, but Peter thought there was just something funny about him. He couldn't put his finger on it. As they continued telling stories and jokes, the couple felt more comfortable with the kid's presence, especially Peter, who wasn't the least thrilled to have him around in the first place. They even brought up some embarrassing honeymoon situations and just laughed at it. Craig seemed to be unsettled at the couch and, while trying to find a better sitting position, accidentally felt MJ up.
How does that happen?
What the fuck?
Which left the kid with a distinct large bulge in his pants and shorts. He kept saying Peter was lucky to marry such a pretty girl. Mary Jane blushed by his commentary, and Craig clearly noticed her apparent discomfort.
What's the matter, Mary Jane?
He smiled.
Something wrong? It's nothing,
she replied.
I'm just kind of thirsty. I'd like a
tall glass of your cock.
I'd like one 14-incher, if you know what I'm saying. I think I'll get us something to drink. Hey, I brought this crazy juice mixture.
Craig got the bottle from his backpack.
If you could only get us some ice. Sure.
MJ got on her feed and headed for the small kitchen. Peter looked at the bottle the kid was holding and immediately felt the familiar tingling at the back of his head. His spider sense was warning him of potential danger, but he couldn't pinpoint the possible origin of an assault. Was the boy a menace to either him or Mary Jane? That was obviously something wrong happening, but this was one of those rare times Peter couldn't figure it out. All right, not going to barf. MJ returned in no time.
Wait, are you that close?
No. It's just when you get like burpy... And like a little, like you feel like a little chunk of something's coming up with it.
You mean a verp?
Sure. Yeah. Craig poured the beverage and they even made a toast. A single piece of bread lightly toasted.
Which came out of the loaf near and dear to my heart.
Right. Always carry a loaf because you'll never know when you need toast.
Oh, God! No! Oh!
What?
That was the worst joke I've heard, but also somehow the best.
That wasn't a joke!
But it was so good!
All right, well, then it was a joke. I take full credit. As soon as Mary Jane brought the glass to her lips, the buzz in Peter's head went wild. Instinctively, he reached out and knocked the glass out of his wife's hand to prevent her from drinking the unknown substance that was triggering his spider sense.
Peter, why are you crazy?
Why are you hesitating when you're doing these voices?
Peter, are you crazy?
MJ was shocked by his antics.
What do you think you're doing, you motherfucker?
Thanks, Dumbledore.
That's a throwback to a previous thing.
That's all right. You don't got it. It was a bad joke anyway.
I liked it.
Well, I know you did, but that's because you and I are gay for each other.
Yeah, we are.
All right. Finally, something works out for David.
Well, you still refuse to marry me in-game, so...
That's because you don't play that game anymore, you butt.
All right, what other games can we play and get married in?
Dave's not allowed to play any games besides 14 because they all have loot boxes.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain World of Warcraft has loot boxes now.
No.
Well, that shut you down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Val's being refereed by Sean.
I don't know what that is, MJ, he started explaining, but it surely ends in juice.
What?
Orange juice, the kind you have to chew.
Yeah.
Yeah, the good super pulpy version.
Yes.
Yeah. What?
Angie realized that her husband might have a good reason for his behavior. Is it true, Craig?
No, ma'am.
Craig had a scared look in his face, the same one that puppies get when they are about to be struck by a rolled newspaper after doing something bad.
I didn't make you a roofie colada.
I made you a roofie martini.
It's just juice. I made it myself.
I don't believe you.
I squeezed the fruits for hours to make it.
I spent 17 years raising the trees that these fruits came from.
These are apple orchard organics.
I don't believe you,
Peter interrupted him. He knew his spider sense had never failed him before, and this certainly wasn't going to be the first time.
Peter!
Tried to control her husband.
Calm down, Tiger!
Meow.
Let's hear what the kid has to say. Yeah.
It's great!
All right, let's hear it.
You are.
Why are you interrupting me when I'm reading?
Because you are roboting like crazy.
Can you please just have a computer that's not broken?
Everything in here is brand fucking new now. Everything. I don't know what else to do, Logan.
Are you sure you're not like an enemy of the wizards from the Magic 2.0 series and the increased your magnetic field?
Because you use Opera.
That has nothing to do with it. I've literally loaded my computer with nothing else going but Discord, and this has happened at times.
It sounds like you have a virus.
It is not a virus.
Sounds like a virus.
What do you want me to do? You want me to just go out and build an entire new computer? You know it's going to have the same problem!
You already did that!
Try reading the rest of this page, but we may have to cut the episode short at this point.
It's only juice, I swear!
Craig put his own glass to his lips and drank it all at once.
See?
Peter's superhuman tingling immediately ceased, English is hard, and was replaced by ordinary embarrassment. Had his spider sense truly failed? Maybe he was just too tired and misinterpreted the warning. There had to be an explanation for what happened, although he couldn't comprehend it at the time. Peter mumbled.
Excuse Peter, Craig,
Mary Jane finally said what her husband couldn't.
He has been working so hard lately that sometimes he just can't help it. We are terribly sorry. No, I'm done.
The kid didn't seem to hold a grudge. Here, MJ grabbed another glass. Let's drink your crazy mixture. Like she's just gonna trust it.
Yep. I made it out of pine sol and rat poison.
They all finally drank it and pretended the little incident never happened. They resumed talking and actually had a nice time with the teenager. It was already very late at night when Mary Jane and Peter said goodnight to Craig, who left their cabin and headed for the one he and Katzenberg were sharing.
See you around, kiddo, he said to Craig at the door. I'm really sorry for before. No hard feelings.
Next up is Logan being refereed by Val.
Wait, is my third time reading?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Has Sean heard
doing
twice?
Don't worry, bitter.
Better?
Better. The boy smiled and nodded. Not hard over you. Not hard over you anyway. Okay. Better was not sure what he meant by that, but thought nothing of it. On his way back inside, he was looking forward to fooling around, but curiously, his eyes were very heavy. Peter could barely keep them open. He approached his wife, who was already deeply asleep at bed, laid by her side, hugged her, and soon fell asleep as well. Better was dreaming of being on a ship in a storm, being tossed about by the waves violently, and hearing screeching noises and other strange noises that sounded like a struggle. Strange loud noises that sounded like a struggle. His spider powers were useless, as he couldn't find the balance. He balanced to stand still.
The balancy.
He thought he heard MJ's voice a few times. However, he couldn't quite make out what it said.
Said Peter, don't drink stupid liquid, you stupid.
He then calmed himself and rested deeply, lost in a dreamless sleep. All that filled his head was a vague noise every now and then. The world didn't seem to exist anymore, but those squealing sounds echoed in his head. And they grew louder and louder as he continued to sleep. Better opened his eyes, all startled and sweaty. The bright sunlight coming through the window proclaimed morning. Coming from the window proclaimed morning. Strange enough, he was breathing heavily and could feel his heart racing. His muscles were sore. He was completely beaten, as if he'd just finished running a marathon. He looked to his left and saw his wife, Mary Jane, there, still sleeping peacefully. One thing that was odd was that she wasn't wearing her sexy underwear anymore. As a matter of fact, she wasn't wearing anything at all. She was completely naked. And to top that, she was drenched in cum.
Drenched in it. Just fucking everywhere, dude.
She had she was just covered in spider webs.
Yeah. How to wash dot web.
Peter blinked several times, just to be sure his eyes weren't playing tricks on him, and proceeded to check on his wife again. He wasn't mistaken. She was indeed covered by the sticky fluid.
Under boob as well.
Yep.
Most of it had already dried, but some still dripped from her tight body and onto the bed. He had never seen that much jism before and tried to remember what they could possibly have done earlier in the night.
So she finally put a finger in his butt.
In that state. But his mind was simply a blur. The semen had spattered obscenely over her left eye and ear, running down her cheek to her mouth. It had coated her forehead and her hairline. Another load had splashed on her chin, and a third one had leaked from her open mouth. Strings of spunk were still dripping from her face, down onto her neck and firm breasts, which had three long ropes across and two more big salvos right across her.
Drink for salvos.
Oh my god, salvos.
Also, everybody is
robot. Let's use Omegle.
Literally everybody is roboting for me right now.
What the fuck is Omegle?
No, Omegle.
Omegle.
Jesus Moggle. Christ.
Omegle is to talk to strangers. Like, it's kind of a chat roulette.
Yeah. Oh, got it.
So you don't know if you're going to end up with some guy showing his dick hard or not.
I mean, it's what you expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're calling it for tonight right now.
That's pretty neato.
Unfortunately, I cannot fix this, so we'll catch you guys next week. Sorry for the abrupt conclusion.
It's okay, we'll have more Chronicles of Spider-Man when we come back.
Right, find out whose salvos of ropey jizz that was next week.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Traveling by Tim Sheehy. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.